May God bless each one this morning. A special blessing to the mothers here this morning. Has been mentioned a couple times, it's Mother's Day, and I think it's good that there's a Mother's Day. It's a time for us to reflect, remember the mothers in our lives. And I have been blessed to have had a godly mother that taught me many things about God and about life. And I was thinking this morning, you know, what are some memories that you have about your mother? Maybe some things you've appreciated about your mother, memories that you have. I think I'll just open it up a little bit. If there's anyone that wants to share something, it can be a way of encouragement for the mothers here this morning that what they do isn't all forgotten. Just a few things, excuse me, a few things I remember about my mother. There's a lot of things, but one, she was a praying mother. She cared about each one of us children. She was also a mother that was a willing servant. She was willing to do anything for us. If something needed to be done, she did it with a smile. And that's one thing I remember. Another thing, maybe on the lighter side, she always enjoyed playing ball. And as us young children, we enjoyed playing ball, and she was always right there with us. And it's one thing that I appreciated about my mother. Is there anything else that you think about your mother, memories, things that you appreciate about your mother now? Open it up to the older people, the youth, and just go ahead.
Since my mom passed away, I think all 10 of us children since then had the discussion that we were all her favorite.
My mom is a giver and a true server at heart, and she gave away so much of her garden things that my dad was sometimes concerned that there would be any left.
My mom loved to read, and she read a lot of quality books and things, and I feel the quality of that reading impacted the children.
Mm-hmm. My mom was one of the servants.
There's things that she would say in the course of years that I come back to my mind today. So she goes,
my mom kept her faith, even though she had an unfaithful husband.
Some evening with that and go get milk. I just go get milk and
And now Mom and Donna's here with her. So she runs them up and we all go along.
I've left the memory of my mother's enthusiasm for life.
There's two things that stand out to me. That is the life of sacrifice my mother lived before her family and how I took it for granted.
You know, we could go on and on talking about memories of our mothers. And it does us well to reflect on things like that. But for us, especially as men, to think about those things, some things came naturally that were stated this morning, but a lot didn't. It took a lot of effort. And we fail so often to show our appreciation for the efforts and the love that's put into us by our mothers. And let's never forget that. Another thing I'd ask for a hand raise this morning. How many of you this morning still have your mothers with you? Okay. How many don't have your mothers? It's quite a few. And now, how many have lost your mothers in the last year? There's a few. God bless you in that. Those firsts are difficult. May God give you grace for that. But the reality is, we're not here to stay. And someday, if the Lord tarries, all of our mothers will be a memory that we can treasure, but they won't be here. I'd like to read a story, and I read this before, and some of you may remember it, but I read it for a reason. And it's a very important thing that we remember and that we appreciate our mothers. Flowers for Mother. A man stopped at a flower shop to order some flowers to be wired to his mother, who lived 200 miles away. As he got out of his car, he noticed a young girl sitting in the curb sobbing. He asked her what was wrong, and she replied, "I wanted to buy a red rose for my mother, but I only have 75 cents, and a rose costs $2. The man smiled and said, "Come on in with me. I'll buy you a rose." He bought the little girl her rose and ordered his own mother's flowers. As they were leaving, he offered the girl a ride home. She said, "Yes, please. You can take me to my mother." She directed him to a cemetery where she placed the rose on a freshly dug grave. The man returned to the flower shop, canceled the wire order, picked up a bouquet, and drove the 200 miles to his mother's house. Excuse me. But I read that for everyone to realize that your mother's not always going to be here. A year ago, some of you were here, and your mother was also here, and today she's not. A year from now, we don't know who that's going to be. Don't take your mothers for granted. Your mothers do a lot for you, and sadly, so often, we don't appreciate what they do until after they're gone. So that's the reason for reading that story again. You know, someday, the flowers that we can give to our mothers, we can't give them in person like that. And yeah, I think it's good that there's a day set aside to appreciate our mothers, to give flowers, to give something special. But I think It's important that it goes beyond that even. Let's show our appreciation to our mothers. Show our respect to her. Appreciate what all the meals that she does. All the wash that she does. And I say this especially for us as fellows. We take that so much for granted. But there's a lot of work that goes into that. We need to be especially grateful for our godly mothers. Mothers that have left us a legacy that we can follow. A legacy that so many in the world could only wish to have. You know, you see the sad state of our country and their homes. Many mothers that don't care about their children, much less give them a good example to follow. And I would like to encourage mothers here this morning, grandmothers, mothers-to-be, be faithful in your calling. You do leave a tremendous impact on the lives of your children, grandchildren, and only eternity will show what all you have done. You know, it's easy to think of a mother as a person that's holding a smiling baby, a laughing baby, someone that receives praise on a special day like this. But the reality is, that's only a small part of motherhood. And you could tell me better than anyone what's all involved in motherhood, in being a mom. I'm sure there's many sleepless nights with fussy babies, mountains of wash and dishes, hard work to prepare a meal, and then we come to the table and it's all gone in a few minutes. And so often we fail to show appreciation where we should. And the list could go on and on, I'm sure, of challenges, difficulties that go with motherhood. But there's also many good times. But I would like to encourage you as mothers this morning in your calling. Yeah, they're bright, they're sunny days, but I also know they're stormy days. And I want to encourage you in that. I'd like to look at a very familiar story in the Old Testament that can be an encouragement to all of us this morning. There's a few very simple points I'd like to make, but yet so profound for each one of us. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17. I'd like to encourage all of us this morning that we serve a God. We have a God that cares about each one of us. A God that we can put our trust into. And a God that's on time. All the time. First Kings chapter 17 is the story of Elijah. Very familiar story, as Elijah was living in the midst of idolatry, in the midst of a nation that was turning their back on God. He came before King Ahab and gave him the message that God gave him to give. And then God said, "Go hide yourself." And we know the story how Elijah was fed by the brook, by the ravens. God took care of him. But then, verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." And I think I'll read the rest of the chapter, verse 8 through 24, in 1 Kings chapter 17. And so often I've read this chapter and didn't really think about what all was happening. Put myself in this situation. Let's read. Verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," or unto Elijah, "saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. So a few simple observations out of this story here. So as we see Elijah leaving the brook Cherith, or where he was hidden there, God told him to go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. And he said, I have a widow woman there that's going to take care of you. Now, I'm sure Elijah, thinking if he thought as we do, he would have had a lot of questions. So how am I supposed to know who this woman is? But even before that, here I have about approximately 100 miles to go to find to the city of Zarephath, and it's in Zidon. Now, where is Zidon? If you go back a chapter, where I had already mentioned it was about 100 miles away from where he was, but if you go to the chapter before in verse 31, it talks about Ahab and the evil woman that he married, Jezebel. It says that this is Ahab took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So this was Jezebel's home country. The one that brought Baal worship into, or promoted it in Israel. And her husband was the one that was out to kill him. But here he was supposed to go into this Gentile country and find refuge there. I'm sure that brought a lot of questions. It would to my mind, and it probably did to Elijah. Why am I supposed to be going there? And it's kind of interesting in chapter 18 when Elijah met, I didn't write this verse down, when he met Obadiah. Obadiah said, as the Lord, verse 10 in chapter 18, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord, we're talking about Ahab, hath not sent to seek thee. And when they saith, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. So Ahab had people all over the country, in other nations, looking for Elijah. And here God tells Elijah to go into an enemy country and find refuge there. Point number one, God sometimes uses unexpected places to provide for his children. And what an unexpected place for God to provide refuge for his servant Elijah. First of all, he was fed by the ravens. What an unexpected place. Here he was going to a place in Zarephath, and he was to find refuge there. This was the middle of Baal worship. And some would also say that this town of Zarephath was also known for their metalworking, and possibly a town that made a lot of idols to Baal. So this was definitely enemy territory, not only to the Israelites, but to God. Elijah was this hunted man that was supposed to go out of this secluded place by the brook Cherith and expose himself in going over 100 miles and risk being seen by others to find a widow to take care of him. God's providence. And so God used this unexpected place to take care of Elijah. Number two, God works through ordinary people to bless others and to fulfill his purposes. An ordinary person. And you could look at this story and think, she was the, could you say, the most ordinary of the ordinary. I mean, what a difficult situation to walk into. A widow, her son. And there was no name given for this widow. Just refers to her as a widow. An ordinary person. But she was called to be a blessing to Elijah. And, you know, sometimes you may think you're just an ordinary person. And we all are. And yet we can be used of God. God works through ordinary people, just like he did through this widow, an ordinary person. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus, in his sermon, actually mentioned this widow woman. And he said there was a lot of widows in Israel. But God used this widow woman from Zidon to take care of Elijah. You might be tempted, you moms, to think you're nobody important. You're just a stay-at-home mom, just doing the ordinary jobs from day to day. And maybe you're a widow. Maybe your finances are low. Maybe you're having a difficult day. But does this disqualify you from being used of God? Absolutely not. God never looks for those that have the most status, those that have the most money, those that are the most capable. God doesn't look for those. God looks for a willing heart. That's what God wants, a willing heart. And he can qualify that person to be used into his service, used for his service. So again, even though you might think yourself just ordinary, just an ordinary mom, God can use you for the blessing of his kingdom to fulfill his purposes. Number three, God sees and wants to help us in our difficult days. And I'm sure that you have many of those. But if we look at this widow here, I see heartache written all over this woman. Tremendous heartache. First of all, her husband died, and it doesn't give us any details about that. When he died, what their age was. It talks about their son, and I suppose it was a young son that couldn't help to support the household. But here was this probably young woman that had high aspirations, high goals for their marriage, for their life together, and her husband died. And here she found herself trying to take care of her young son by herself. I suppose she probably tried to plant garden, tried to provide for herself in that way. And then there was no rain, and it was dry, and there was crop failure. And then the burden of seeing the food supply dwindle. You know, we see here that she said there was only a handful left. But I'm sure she noticed that long time before. She was trying to do what she could to make the food last, because she knew there was so little in their house. Malnourishment. And this is something that I never really thought about that much in reading this story. You know, it said that she has something left for one more meal and then they're going to die. Well, there was an extended period of time that she was thinking about this and trying to stretch the food, I suppose. And seeing her own child grow weaker and weaker, and herself as well. Heartache. Difficulty. And then to top it off, there's this stranger came to the city gate and asked her for a drink. And she was willing to do that. And I think she was a woman that wanted to do what she could for others. And when Elijah asked her to give him some water, she did that, or she was going to do that in verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her again. And then is when he asked her for food. And that made her stop and just tell Elijah what was going on. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What heartache to say something like that. Not only at that point, but before that. The situation was definitely a dire situation. And we can't even really imagine the thoughts that were going through her mind at these times. But Elijah asked, first of all, that he would give, make something for him and then for the others. But I'd like to encourage you moms this morning. Are you facing a heartache? Are you facing difficulties in your life? Does it feel like everything's going against you? Do you feel like giving up? Does it feel like all hope is gone? Do you face days when you wonder if it could get any worse? And I think this widow was at that point. Can it get any worse? Here, this is the last that I have, and then we're going to die. We are sure you all face days that are difficult, heartache, Point number four. God's promises should cause fear to flee. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Fear not. But Elijah, you don't know the situation that I'm in. You don't know the bad choices my child is making. You don't know about my financial situation. You don't know about all the sleepless nights. Maybe those thoughts go through your mind when I say fear not. I don't know about your sick children. And that's correct. Most of us don't know everything that you're facing at this point. And that's okay. But I want you to realize and remember that God does. And that's what matters. He is the provider. He is the one that will give you strength. In Matthew 6, we could look at some of those verses where Jesus talks about not worrying about the future. It says that God cares about the fowl, the sparrow. And isn't He going to take care of you? Doesn't He care so much more about all of us? Especially about you mothers this morning. Even though you're going through possibly a dark time in life. I don't know. But God knows. He's the provider. He's the one that will take you through. Focus on Him. Focus on the Lord. He is the sustainer. He is the one that will give you strength for those dark and difficult nights. Those dark days. Sometimes it takes us long to get to that place where we can accept fear not. But it's only as we keep our eyes upon our Savior. It's where we find true peace and contentment in bringing everything to God and pouring out our troubles to Him. He cares. Our situation may not have changed, but our focus has. And with our eyes of faith fixed on the Master, we can find peace and fear needs to flee. And may you find encouragement in that, in the midst of some of those dark and difficult nights that you may face with crying babies and the workload seems overwhelming. Remember that others have gone through it too. And as they fixed their eyes upon God, He saw them through, just like this widow. Number five, obedience opens the door to God's blessings. Does obedience always come easy? Definitely not. But it opens the door to God's blessings. And I'm sure this widow had second thoughts. And she expressed a bit of that to Elijah when he asked for a cake first. What would you do as a mom if you had enough for one more meal and a stranger came and asked for that first? What would you do? And I don't know if this widow had any idea of who Elijah was or not. That he was a man of God, it doesn't really say. But I think she sensed that he was not just an ordinary man. And so I think she was willing to do that for him. Well, he says in verse 14, "The Lord God of Israel, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that it will continue to grow. The oil shall not fail, the meal shall not waste, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." So I think she knew that he was a man of God, and somehow she knew that God was going to provide, and so she was willing to obey and to give him what he asked. But here was Elijah. He was interrupting her meal preparations. He was a foreigner. He was a stranger. But I'd like to encourage all of us that it's important that we do what's right, even if we don't feel like it. And I don't think she really felt like doing it for a stranger. I mean, her mother's heart, I'm sure, wanted to give this cake to her child first. But she was willing to obey. She was a hospitable woman. She was willing to provide what he asked. We might not have much to give. And this poor widow she had very little to give. And sometimes you might think as mothers you have very little to give. And that's fine. Just give what you have. Give your handful to God. She only had a handful of meal. Just a little bit. But be willing to give what you have, no matter how little it is. And God can use that to bless others, and it can go far beyond our expectations. Remember the story of the two loaves and the fishes, fed a multitude. And we can never underestimate the power of God in giving the little that we have. You know, sometimes we want to think, you know, I want to give something big. But let's be willing to give the little that we have. Number 6, God's provisions are enough for each day. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It's something we all need to remember. God's provisions are enough for each day. And for the widow here, I think it took faith for her to realize and to think about that God is going to provide for her. I don't think God filled that barrel up right away. I think there was always enough for one more meal. And that's how God wants us to put our faith and trust in him, that we have faith for each day. And remember in those difficult times that you may be facing, that there is grace there for you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And I know we think about tomorrow, but God gives grace for today. Don't be cumbered about with worrying about tomorrow. There's always a daily supply of God's grace, even when the mountain of wash looks huge. And the list could go on and on. Does it feel like your barrel is empty at times? Like there's just nothing left there anymore? God is there to provide for your need today, and he will do that. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a promise. God is there to provide what we need for today. Not necessarily our wants, but our needs. When God is all you have all you need. And that's important for all of us to realize that each day. If we have God, we have what we need. Maybe not what we want always, but we have what we need. Life may not be easy. And the widow's son passed away. I don't know why. Was it potentially because of lack of nourishment? You know, he was probably very malnourished. But his son died. Her son died. We know the miracle, how he was brought back to life. But God was there for her in those difficult situations. So God has not promised that we would have an easy life. But God has promised that he would always be there for us. So to all you mothers, young ladies, grandmothers, be faithful, even though it might seem your barrel is about empty. It's just not much there anymore. The load looks overwhelming, the task daunting. God is there to give you your daily provisions, what you need for today. might seem like you're unnoticed, doing something that's not all that important. But remember, what you're doing for others, and especially what you're doing for your children, is leaving a lasting impact that you can't put a price tag to. So may this be an encouragement to you to be faithful. And God bless each of you mothers as you toil on in the work that God has called you to do.